So you know that voice in your head that is constantly telling you how to be a better partner, be a better parent, be a better worker, be a better version of yourself? Of course you know that voice. And when I need to tell that voice to shut the hell up, Calm is the tool that I reach for to release stress and find space to breathe. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, and it is here to help you feel better. If you're feeling like you could use some support navigating this healing journey, get the relief you need with Calm sessions, like their guided meditations to help you work through anxiety and stress, sleep stories, sleep meditations, and calming music to help you drift off to a restful sleep quickly, grounding exercises, including breath work to help you reset and relax, and expert-led talks to help you handle grief, improve self-esteem, improve your relationships, and more. The Calm app puts the tools you need right in your pocket with over 2 million five-star reviews. So calm your mind, change your life. Calm has an exclusive offer just for listeners of this show. Get 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/adultchild. This is an amazing value. Go to calm.com/adultchild for 40% off and limited access to Calm's entire library, calm.com/adultchild, and make sure you tell Calm you heard about them from me. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Melissa. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Song
Whipping by Pearl Jam.
You know that song? Would I recognize it if I heard it?
Maybe. It came out on the album, same album as Better Man, which I think everybody knows that song. But yeah. I just love it because it has really raw, defiant energy, and I'm such a softie, so it's like kind of like what I want to project, even though I don't have it.
Carbohydrate.
Okay, I'm a potato girl in general, so if I have to narrow that down, yes, I will go with a French fry, because you could do a French fry in lots of different varieties too.
What kind of fry? Like a straight fry, a curly fry, a waffle fry.
Probably just a straight fry. Straight fry. A little crispy on the outside, soft in the middle.
Soft in the middle. Crispy, yeah. It's crispy on the outside, mashed potatoes in the inside. That was Sandra. Okay. Sandra said that once. That was her answer.
Well, she's a wise woman, yes. I would go with Sandra's recommendation on that one.
Cheese.
Oh, again. I love all cheese. I'd have to go between like a goat cheese appetizer or like for a sandwich, like a Havarti maybe. Havarti. But I will hardly turn away any cheese you put in front of me.
I think that's our first Havarti.
Is it?
Okay, yeah.
Good.
And condiment.
Oh, condiment whore. The only reason I like to eat fondue is because of the sauces. So I'll go right now. I love this garlic spread from Trader Joe's. It's so good. It's very basic and almost on anything. Pizza, chips, veggies, substitute for mayo. It's amazing. If you like garlic, obviously.
I do. Love or hate garlic. I've never had it.
Oh, if you like garlic, please report back if you try it. It's so good. Well. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you learn that you were an adult child?
Oh, well, everything was in slow motion. I think I started to have life as I formed it to cope with what was going on inside, break down, starting when my marriage started to shatter because I'm still best friends with my ex-husband. Like, I love him to death to this day. So it was like a very good relationship. It's just not something I ever thought was going to end. So it's like kind of realizing, you know, when that was happening and we separated, and it was all very comfortable because, like I said, we're still friends. But I started to realize, like, I had no drive to do anything. Like, I kind of was at home. It's like a dating app was like, no fucking way. I wasn't in a lot of mood to go out. It's like the thought of going to visit my family or go to events or functions without my husband was debilitating. And I just started to go, what's wrong with me? Because, you know, it's not like don't people get divorced, go wild, and I just started to shut down slowly. So through that, that's when I decided to move. And I moved out to the East Coast because I had never lived alone. And my problems caught up with me, but in slow motion, it's like over time, I just kept trying to make a relationship work with someone that is a good person, but has their own issues and is just not available in any way because of his issues. It's how that goes.
Yes, I do. Quite well. Yeah,
unfortunately. That's, I'm sure, like everyone in our group does. And then finally going, having that blow up moment where I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Honestly, like I thought like I had this life with this great husband and I made it. And then after it's like, I can't function at all. Like, why am I waiting and waiting for someone? And I have no thing. And I was in New York City and all, I just lost it. And it's like, I had a huge breakdown. And that was right before COVID happened. So it's almost like it felt like it cosmically hit me. And then I had already been listening to some stuff and podcasts about depression and some therapy stuff. But that's how I found you, listening to Mental Illness Happy Hour with Paul Gilmartin. And I liked you so much right away. It was such a great interview. And I'm like, oh gosh, everything she's talking about. I'm like, kind of sounds like she's talking about me. And I don't really know this stuff. I hadn't heard like a term like that. And, you know, then I listened more and more and more and more until I finally joined the shit show this year.
Damned it. When you found my podcast, were you in therapy?
Did not you yet.
No, nothing. And had you ever been to therapy before that?
Never at all. Part of my dealing with everything was complete repression. Nothing was wrong. I passed for, everybody looked at me like, you're fine. You know, I just got by. So I never gave myself any kind of attention. So when all this broke down and I knew I needed help, at first I didn't trust anybody. I'm like, who am I going to see? What do I do? Pick a name online? And what does that mean? Like, I didn't even know who to go to see for help. So I did thank God, and I'm not religious, it's funny, for podcasts and things to listen to and read and YouTube. And I almost had to know what was wrong with me before I was willing to go get therapy, because I just had to bounce off maybe what I thought versus what I was going to hear. I was that distrusting. So I didn't start therapy until, I want to say, October of 2023.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, well, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. Better late than never, I guess.
100%. And then what about prior to that, discovering my podcast, how did you view your childhood?
Boy, I always knew it was not the way it's supposed to be, but I never knew what it was supposed to be like. So I was one of those that just from a very young age remember going, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, not in those terms. I'm saying that now with, you know, looking back, which is a lot of what I'll say, but it's just, I always was disturbed. And one of the, this example is kind of strange, but obviously you'll understand and people listening. And when I first talked about it in therapy, I was shocked because I was so emotional and I was like sobbing. And I'm one of those not cry, repressed people. And I was talking about this memory has to be younger than 5 because it was in the first house I lived in. So 4 or under. And I used a pacifier too long. Like, I actually have memories of using my pacifier because I used to keep them in the little mailbox of the refrigerator. Like, it's super vivid to me. And what I now understand was that one night, and I remember this was like vivid, it's one of my earliest memories, is going in the middle of the night, I'd go get my pacifier out of the refrigerator and go back to bed. You know, I was old enough to do that, which is old. I get it. So I don't know, but my parents, like when I went to go in the middle of the night and they weren't there, and I look and I remember looking and the top of the garbage can, they were in there and they were cut up. And I remember screaming my head off, and it sounds so stupid, but I remember being so scared in that moment. Like, why would they do that to me? Like, of course you don't understand that they just don't know what to do. And I mean, how lazy I would think. It's not like now where information's at your fingertip, but also, geez, like so harsh. I took it as, how can they do that to me? And that it just explains a lot of my parents are not bad people, but they have their own issues so badly. They're so emotionally mature that just even with the best of intentions, like I knew they loved me intellectually, but it's like they love me like an object. Like I was physically safe. And if it got to a point, like I could tell my dad and he'd kill somebody, but I can't tell someone who would actually kill somebody. You know what I mean? So it's just like a warped relationship where I know they love me, but I can't feel it the way they give it. And they are like the, oh, my cute little sweet daughter, everything's fine. I'm smiling like everything's fine. And I've had a life of pain of not being seen, but also doing everything I can to not be seen. So I don't get attention in a house that I deem as volatile, or not deem, but perceive as volatile, even as a child.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have a brother, and he's 9 years older. So it's almost like being an only child. And, you know, a lot of my life, my mom was like pressuring me, like, why don't you two? Like, I, for her, when she dies, all we're going to have are each other. And it was always like put on me. And I'm like, he's 9 years older. What am I supposed to say to him? And why is it my responsibility? And it's also, now that I know what's wrong, what does he know? Like, we were both raised in the same. It's just everybody's relationally so strange. So like my relationship with my brother was very casual. And almost everybody in my family, it's like we're around each other all the time. They're in your face all the time. And everybody's talking, fighting, yelling, laughing, drinking, doing whatever. But no one really talked. There was no real connection, but it seemed like everybody else felt it. And I was the only one that I'm like, what is going on here? And if you love each other, how do you talk to each other that way? And why? Like, why would you even be around somebody? So I lived my life mentally feral while I was physically safe and cared for, and everything looked fine on the outside, but I had no safe person to talk to. Everything I learned, it was random, from random people, random friends, random, and that both was great and horrible. Also got me into some trouble, you know?
What was the, like, atmosphere, like, in the home? Was there a lot of fighting or volatile?
Yes, the worst part was not my parents, because my parents, what they tried to do is just hide everything from me. I mean, that's a whole nother story because I could perceive it, but it was that we lived in a family home. So it's like I had grandparents on the top floor, us on the middle floor, and an uncle and a cousin in the basement. And that dynamic was really the problem, because my parents would drink. And I would call my father some level of a functional alcoholic, because he would drink a lot. He would drink every day, but he never appeared a drunk to me. And he was super responsible, never missed a day of work. You know what I mean? So I don't know what to call him. But the real nasty alcoholism that had problems in the home where my grandfather was an absolute little monster, this tiny little, where I think everything stemmed from. You know, what I can see.
Is it your dinner. Mom's dad or your dad's dad?
My mother's dad. And my uncle in the basement, who obviously is the son of the monster. So there you go. And, you know, is a Vietnam veteran and is a severe alcoholic. And, you know, has a son, this poor son, my cousin, that obviously, what kind of parent does he have? And my grandfather is always violently yelling at my cousin and screaming at him for existing and around me. And my grandmother's bedroom's above mine, and I can hear my grandfather at night screaming at her and yelling and fighting. And I'm standing as a child with a knife in my kitchen, like thinking if I should go up to save my grandmother. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. So it's not like things. My grandparents never yelled at me. My grandfather didn't yell at me like that, but it's
witnessing it.
Yeah, all the time. One, I'm just like, why? And why is this happening? And this is supposed to be a family, and feeling so bad and not being able to do anything for anyone, for myself or my cousin, and not tell my parents, because, you know, my father has some kind of resentment towards this situation in life where he's so close to my mom's family. I don't know how they got there, if that's the case or why, but he hates my mom's family on some level. So that's also something I know and I don't want to stir up, you know, but that also got to where it was the hardest thing for me, was knowing that there is a generational stuff in my family, and knowing my mother is a severely abused woman, and I don't know what my father went through, but he's got his own stuff. And then them just thinking if they hide things or suppress and act like everything's fine, like nothing trickles down. Like the very house my mother experienced abuse in, why am I under the care of my grandparents? Why am I in a house with an uncle that's drunk all the time and can't fucking control himself? Oh, but he'll play board games with me. Like he's the one that will actually spend time with me. Well, no shit. You know what I mean? And then you can imagine what comes of that. And then in my whole life, into my adulthood, like having to still like look at this uncle. And, you know, it's like my mom, when I was young too, would let me like hide in the room and eat if he came up because he'd be so drunk and I'd be upset and all these things. And into adulthood, we still have to see him and see him drunk and go, and say, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, you look so good. And just talking about how I look. Why do I have to hear an uncle fucking talking about how I look all the time? You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, and my mother knows this, and my mother experienced these things. It's like she can't possibly think of it happening because it's too painful for her. Do you know what I mean? And she's like a slave to my father because it was in this very traditional, horrible relationship. So, I mean, I had a lot of man issues from like some of the men in my family. And I feel so bad for my mom, but, you know, held on as long as I could, like, and never knew anything was wrong with me because I thought she was so much worse. I thought I was normal and she was the one with the problem. Go figure.
What was your relationship like with your mom and your dad?
Well, like I said, they expected things out of me, you know, do good in school, get good grades.
Was one
high.
Of them like a safer parent? Were you closer with one or the other?
Neither of them had any effect. They were not safe and they were not abusive. They were just not available. They were in their own stuff. So, I mean, it was like very, I'm going to be the good kid and behave, very old school on some level. And then, hi, I love you. Good night. That's it. Like my mother would eat cleaning in the kitchen. My father would eat in the living room and I would eat in their bedroom on their bed with a tray watching TV. That's how we would eat as a family. There was no, we didn't even sit and eat together. And then my mother, because she's slaving away, and then she'd wake up earlier in the morning to take care of my father before his job and then get ready for her own job and then work all day out of the house and come home to that. So also my mother tried to protect me by not teaching me a damn thing about being domestic because she's not going to have me serve a man, which is great on some level, but it's also then you teach me nothing. Like then I just was left in front of the TV because she has to take care of my dad. And then she waited on me hand and foot because she loved me, which was great. But it also made me kind of useless. Like I'm doing things for the first time. I just saw in the chat that I posted up. I put up floating shelves and I feel like I need an award, you know, at 45 years old. It's because she meant well. But again, look how warped, you know what I mean? That comes out. So that's kind of like it in a nutshell.
Was their relationship, would they fight a lot?
My father loved me in a way that he did not want to upset me. So they did not fight a lot in front of me. If anything, they would be quiet and cold in front of me if they were fighting. And if not, they just didn't spend a lot of time together. You know, it was very odd that, you know, I saw them ever laugh together or give each other a kiss or anything like that. So I can sense, I always thought, ugh. But my dad was more quiet and more, I mean, my dad's completely emotionally available. I don't know who my dad is. But I thought since I saw all the other chaos, I'm like him, like in a way. And then my mother, who's terrified of my father, but also loves my father more than anyone in the world. Sometimes it's like, I feel like she's scared of me. That's what I mean. I could feel that. And she would always like talk so badly about him and tell me this and tell me these horrible stories, but then turn around in another breath and tell me I'm just like him. And it's like, she'll never realize she's doing that. So it was always very confusing to me. And even saying things like that, I'd be like, you fucked him. Like, why are you, you know, what are you telling me that? It was always, everything was, I was her reason for living, yet she couldn't interact with me. Everything, the reason, thank goodness she came back to my father when she tried to go live in New York, because if not, she wouldn't have me. So I'm the reason you're in this horrible fucking relationship or whatever, serving every man, but she's still even serving her father. you know, who I believe was an original abuser. Like, I think my mom experienced mm-hmm. familial abuse from him and her brothers. So it's weird, but it's, I mean, all these things, it's so funny. I'm just saying this so easily, but it's no one knows. And I think that's why I'm finally, you know, because I'm just the bitch that thinks I'm too good for my family, mm-hmm. apparently. And I just abandoned them when I tried. Oh, I held on as long as I could, especially to my mother. I feel so bad for my mother, but I can't help her if I'm about to, if it's her or me. Like, I find myself at such a low point. It's like I died without dying, like how much I shut down. And that's why, like, now at this restart point, I feel great, just I feel a little better, but it's just almost like I can't do anything, but at least I'm here, you know. But it's like, emotionally, when you, I took, spent so much energy doing what I did, it's like I don't have any energy left. It's, I hate that saying when they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So stupid. I get what they're going for, but it's like, yeah, what doesn't kill you just beats the shit out of you and leaves you in a coma when you have no muscles to walk when you wake up, you know. So,
but at least
like
a good
that.
Sense of humor, you know.
Yeah,
you're dead, but you got a good sense of humor.
See, you gotta, you know, take what you could get.
How did you cope as a kid? Were you into school? Did you do sports? Did, what was kind of your...
It was a lot of fantasy, mm-hmm. a lot of TV, a lot of books, a lot of just thinking of what could be. And, you know, one thing that was good about that, the healthy dissociation, is that reading, wow, that led to one of my strengths. And like when I was in third grade, I read at a seventh grade level, according to the testing. So I was like, oh, that's how I got lost. But I mean, I didn't care about school in so far, other than the relationships like there and stuff. And even with the school, like when I was a smart kid, I remember, again, this is how my child brain remembers it, but basically that we met with the school. They said I shouldn't be in that school, just a regular Chicago public school. They were said I should transfer to, I don't know what special, some magnet school or something. Of course, we couldn't do it because, again, there's no one to, you know, attend to me.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, well, we'll just skip a grade. So I didn't go to fifth grade. I went from fourth to sixth grade. So I remember as soon as that happened, they kind of looked at me like, do you want to go? Is it okay? I'm like, I guess. They're like, you're going to be okay with the older kids? So right from that moment, it's like, this fucking school doesn't matter. Like, my brain was like, the only thing that matters, you know what I mean, is who I'm going to, like, the friends, the older kids. And there it all started. And at school, I would just do it. I was smart enough to do what I needed to do without doing much of anything, if that makes sense.
So then were the kids accepting of you, or?
Yeah, I always had.
They weren't like teasing you because you were a year younger.
No. I was, well, one thing about, this is me, I am soft and fluffy, and I'm a freezer or a white person. I'm like, fuck off. But if someone gets in my face, all this anxiety that's constantly running, I don't back down from anybody.
Wow.
I mean, my brother and I got into a fight once at Christmas, and of course we both had things to drink and whatever, but I mean, we fought, like, I'm like, this man, and I don't care, because I'm like, I'm not gonna let a man, like, you better fucking kill me. Go ahead. I'm not scared of you. I won't let a man intimidate me. It's just, I've seen too much of that. I'd rather die. Take a shot, motherfucker, pretty much. Sorry. I said, what? Fuck a
I
lot.
Wasn't. I didn't expect there was a gangster in you, Melissa. This is,
I blame Jersey. I spent too much time in Jersey. That's what happened. See, I gotta get back to my.
Yeah, okay. But that, I thought you meant like when you were a kid.
Oh.
You would.
Oh, who knows? Who knows?
And so are you no contact with them in an official sense? All right, Shisha. So I have been talking to you about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormonal levels, with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide, with 98% of them saying they would recommend it to somebody else. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their probiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings. It helps you feel satisfied.
satisfied longer, boost your energy. It helps to relieve occasional gas and bloating, reduce sugar cravings, keeps you feeling satisfied longer, boost your energy, and helps you stabilize those damn mood swings. And because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. And so I struggle with brain fog. I'm sure many of y'all can relate. And since I've been taking the prebiotic collagen protein, I've noticed a big difference there, as well as just a lift in my overall energy levels. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows, folks. So right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order today with code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That is happymammoth.com. Use code ADULTCHILD to get 15% off today. All right, Chichos, did you know that scientists now openly say that your gut is the cornerstone of your health? And it's not just about digestion, okay? The gut literally affects everything from your energy levels to mood to weight management and even your longevity. However, an imbalanced microbiome can sneakily sabotage you with constant bloating, sluggish energy, and those stubborn extra pounds that you just can't lose no matter what. But here's the kicker. Fixing your gut bacteria isn't rocket science. It is the game changer for reclaiming your vibe and living your best damn life. And that is where Bioma steps in, delivering powerhouse supplements like their flagship probiotics for killer digestion and weight control, the Feminine Health Symbiotic to keep things balanced down there, and menopause support to crush hot flashes and mood swings. Their science-backed trio of prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics work like a gut reset button, all in vegan, tasteless capsules with a no BS 14-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free, okay? So go to gobioma.com/adultchild today for an extra 15% off your order. That is gobioma.com/adultchild and get an extra 15% off. All right, Chichos, did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common nutritional gaps? It affects 1 in 3 adults, and especially women. It often shows up as fatigue, brain fog, weakness, brittle nails, but the problem is that most people don't realize that low iron may be the cause of these issues. That's why I'm here to tell you about Citerol from Pharma Nutra. This is a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while also avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea, constipation, and all that fun stuff. It is clinically proven to be comparable to IV iron and is formulated with just 2 ingredients, iron and vitamin C. It's vegan, allergen-free, gluten-free. You can take it anytime, anywhere. So if you're that 1 out of 3 with an iron deficiency, head to pharmanutra-us.com and use code ADULTCHILD for 10% off your first order. That is pharmanutra-us.com, promo code ADULTCHILD for 10% off today.
Yes, but I never, official for me, like I never said anything. It happened, well, to be honest, it happened on accident, by accident, Midwest, I say that wrong. So I was so overwhelmed when I was trying to buy a place when I had just broken down, because it like happened at that time. So it all was together and I was freaking out. Like I was in Las Vegas. I actually looked out there just thinking, okay, I really only care about good food. Vegas has good food. It's hot, cheap, whatever. But when I went out there, I'm like, eh. I'm like, ah, man, this is, I just realized it wasn't for me. And I started to panic right away. I'm like, oh, I have no plan. And I was like losing it. And my mother sent me this text. She's doing all kinds of strange things. She's liking, you know, cause she wants me to have this relationship I don't have with my brother. She's liking a picture of me and my nephew from like 2016 on Instagram. She's not asking a thing about what I'm doing. She's texting and all of a sudden, oh, she sends a picture of her face bloody and she fell down the stairs. And I'm literally like, that's when I had my breakdown. I was looking at the bathtub, like picturing drowning myself and shaking for 45 minutes when I was having this panic attack, when this is all happening. And she said something like, oh, I'm going to go to the hospital. I'll call you. And I said, don't call me in a text. I said, don't call me. That's all I said, because I didn't want to I didn't want to call anybody. Like, I was in that state. I was so, like I said, it took me 45 minutes. I eventually texted some friends and I talked to them and came, but that's when I like lost it. And I said, if it's me or her, but when I said that, I meant, don't call me tomorrow. Like she said she was, I didn't mean forever, but then she really stepped back. You know, I don't know if she was so taken aback or that. And then it just became, oh shit, I have to do this. And then blocking. And they even sent, I even had cops come to my place and do a wellness check in Jersey, but I wasn't there, luckily, at the time.
Oh, so called, this was, you hadn't moved back yet?
No. The last time I saw my mother was in 2019, December.
In 19?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you communicated with her?
Right before February of 2020.
Wow.
So it's been a long time. That's why, like I said, it took me so long. Like, before I even saw therapy, like, to even, I was in so much pain when I got to therapy, but I had to go through the pain where I couldn't get to, you know what I mean? I had to get well enough to even take those steps. It took me that long. I do everything slowly. I break down slowly. I'm the nerdiest nervous breakdown. Like, no one can even tell. I'm like, hi, even the boy I was trying to marry. I'm like, hi, I have a nervous breakdown right in front of your face. You have no idea what's going on. It was really awesome.
Do you envision like ever communicating with them or having them in your life at any point?
I don't. And it sounds so harsh, but the thing is,
oh, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, maybe not to you or to anyone in this show or to anyone listening to this podcast, maybe. But to the general public, I guess it feels good to say it here because it's not cold-hearted. I held on as long as I could. These people have never listened to me in the slightest. I've tried to talk. I spent a lot of my adult life trying to get close to my mother. And we did on some level. I mean, but that's when I just found blurbs of disturbing things and figured out what bad a condition she's in. And she just thinks she's fine. So therefore tells me I'm fine. Well, I wish I could just do that. I don't even know how and her commitment to the family that hurt her, it's like the saddest thing ever. So yes, I'm taking the extreme opposite effect of that. But I, like I said, when I found myself, it's like, I'm no good in that condition anymore. When I'm sitting there shaking, staring in a bathtub, like thinking I'm scared to move. Because more, even moving to Vegas was more like, I can't go back home at first. I was too scared. I was just thinking of anywhere, planet anywhere. And then I finally ended up at least being brave enough to just go, okay, and it'll be fine. And for a while, I was scared. For a while, I was uncomfortable. I thought it'd be so awkward, you know, but anyone I see now will just have to hear the truth. But I don't see a reason to bring all this up for people. Like, all this stuff is ancient. If you are, I mean, do your thing. Like, on some level, the fact is, I do right now lead a very charmed, simple life. The fact that I was nerdy enough to have a breakdown and somehow take care of myself and be able to buy a place while I was having it. Wow. Like, lucky. That part of me that was just, but I always knew I was on my own. So I was saving my pennies, you know, because the one thing I wanted for myself was not to get stuck. Like, my mom got stuck for any reason, anywhere, you know? So I guess I achieved that, but I just came out. I didn't know I'd come out like a slug.
How far are they from you?
Well, I don't know now. I actually think my brother moved out east at some point and I moved back and I don't know where my mother is. I mean, they were all in the city proper. Like, I was the only one out in the suburbs. So about half an hour.
When did your dad passed away?
No, my dad. Only the good die young, Andrea. Only the good.
Well, you said that my mom lives in Chicago, so I would have thought.
Oh, sorry.
Your mom and dad. Yeah.
He very cruelly, years before I even was divorced, left my mom just almost out of the blue to move back to Puerto Rico. Just, he was going to move and that's it. Like, fuck off, come with him or don't. And kind of left her in. Also left her in a very cruel way, like the manner in which just stayed in the house, iced her out. Just, I stopped talking to him long before anyone else, even though I was like him. And He even called my brother sobbing that I wouldn't call him, but he wouldn't call me. So I was like, oh, yeah, I am just like you. If you fucking are so, but he was ashamed. He knew I would call him out and at least do whatever you want. Like, obviously, whatever, it's their relationship, but there's a way to do something. Just like there's a way to quit a job or there's a way to, you know, he just, yeah. So I don't know. He's been off in Puerto Rico for quite some time. Like at least over 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's talk about romance. Oh, so my. You got married and sure why did you get divorced?
Well, it's complicated. Well, we basically just grew apart romantically because our relationship was really built on friendship and real love. But I think he's a little avoidant. And I liked the relationship because I also like to not be trapped. So we had this marriage that was very polite. We didn't fight enough, let's put it that way. So we ended up growing apart because it's like we were trying to always, because most of it was good, right? So we just, over time, and he saw me having these relationship problems with people that he didn't understand, like all the stuff with my father we just talked about. He saw me and he's like, how can you just not talk to your dad? I mean, of course, he was pretty close to my dad, but he was also just seeing me and thought any second, when was I going to do something to him? Of course, he doesn't know what's going on because he's kind of avoidant. So he doesn't like to talk about dark things. So I don't want to bring him up. So it's, I never did, you know, and I was mostly in denial myself as well. But I think that made him more and more yucky about the marriage, thinking at any moment I was going to flip on him, and that made him start to shut down more and more, which I kind of get. I mean, I think now we're closer than ever as friends, and he understands kind of. We both look back now and laugh about, or that's why I did that. Or he'd get so pissed off, like if I was in the car and we're driving and I reach up and grab the window or something, if he stops too fast, and he's so mad as if I'm trying to tell him how to drive. And I'm like, no, I fucking have anxiety so bad. Like, to me, I'm already in that backseat in my mind. Just understanding things like that. It's like I lived this whole life where even the man who knew me most and loved me most still didn't even know me. So I go from that to this podcast, which is crazy because now I'm just saying things I've never said in my life, but who cares? At least I'm over it. Like, I have no energy to do anything, so I'm just going to do it.
It's your story, you know?
Yeah.
It's your story to tell.
Well, I'm just going to do it for real. It's not interesting. It's weird. It's strange to intellectually grasp so much, but not able to make your feelings mature. So, you know, just learning how to do very basic things at this stage.
Well, so you said that it was like post-divorce that you started to spiral. What do you think that was?
Well, because my husband is older than me. So when we met, I was 22 and he was 39.
Okay.
And he worked at that company where I worked most of my life. So that's how we met. Like, I was already done. I had a first love relationship that, oh, I should have realized I was a shit show at that point when that fell apart, because I was gonna die. Like, it was the first time I went on meds. I couldn't stop crying. I was gonna die. I'd sworn off men.
And when was this, like 20?
I dated him from 17 to right before I turned 21. And we were engaged, though. And we were gonna be married on my 21st birthday. Can you believe that?
What happened?
Well, we were just kids. I mean, so I don't even remember almost what broke it off, you know, but kept seeing each other. And in the end, just didn't make it to the wedding. And then I met that young. I had already sworn off men, though. That was so painful to me because I was like, that was my life. That was going to be my new life. I was going to build my own family. And I completely crashed out and lost it. But then I met the man that became my husband, who is the nicest man. He's a caretaker. You don't meet a lot of men that are caretakers. And there is no one that he meets that he allows to not be okay in his presence. Like, he's just that guy. He loves everyone. He wants to make everyone smile. He wants to take a job driving Uber for fun so he can meet people. Like, he's the anti-me, right? I only one person. He likes every person. So that also made our marriage die too, because he needed a lot more. And I only needed him. You know, I'm the ultimate codependent. To me, just give me one person. And I've started doing that ever since I was a kid. one friend and let's see what I'm going to be doing. One, and when it became romantic, forget all the friends. Like, the romantic was the only thing I wanted. So now that that's not in play anymore, that's why I'm like just chilling and playing with toys. Because I'm like, I don't have the desire for the only thing I've ever desired, which was a partner. So every time we talk about partner stuff, I'm like, oh, I know, but I gave up. It's hard.
So I interrupted you, I think, because I was asking what you thought your breakdown was about. And then you started by saying,
oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm just circling back. You said that you had to do something with the age difference, or it seemed like that's where you were going.
No, I molded my life to fit into his life because of that. Because not only the age difference, but he's also had 3 children. So when we started dating, you know, he had kids that were 10 and 7. So it made a lot of sense for lots of reasons. I mean, it was not a bad choice. It's just a choice that I missed everything, right? Because I kind of went right from, I was into a situation where I didn't have 20s and 30s that were normal. I formed my life into, how can I do this without disturbing the kids, period? Because I'm a stepmom, let alone a young one. Because let freaking the young girl like that coming from, I would have been like, no. And he, obviously, knowing who I am, like, he would have never put me in front of his kids. It was always just a very delicate situation, but we handled it with a lot of grace. And I just a full participant in doing whatever it took to support the kids. So it is the life that was very specific to the marriage, is what I mean by, you know, why I started to grow bad and why we started to grow apart. I mean, I would have never gotten divorced.
How long were you married?
We were together 14 years.
14.
Dating 8, married 6, but we waited 8 years. I mean, it was not like we ran. It was a very, and obviously we were good to each other. Like, we still have a real loving relationship, but, you know, you could have lots of people were like, why aren't you married? I'm like, there's lots of ways to love somebody other than being married. You know, we know each other well now, and I want him to be happy and he's happy, and I'm figuring my shit out. This support group is very helpful. Because people that aren't going through this, it's a hard bag for them to witness and be around and listen to our things that, you know, I get in a room with you all and have people nodding at something I have never been able to get anyone to understand in my whole life.
Mm.
Or when I say I can't remember to breathe, and everyone's nodding their heads. And I'm like, wow, it's just so easy here where it's my first foray in joining anything. For that reason. And my therapist just, even today, is, I'm so nervous, but she goes, just show up. Just show up. Your job is just to show up. And I'm like, I have to at least write down the song I'd pick, but I didn't prepare, you know, but it's scary, but also good.
So then, have you tried to date since then?
Not since the New Jersey boy.
What? No. So that was after.
Well, that was from
divorce.
That we asked starting in 2016. So from then, I think I was waiting all the way up until I was back here, like summer of 2022, even that whole period. And I still talk to him. We're not alike, but we're so alike. I used to tell people we were alike and they'd be like, no, well, because we're both childlike. His is a little more obvious. I can fake mine out. But also, like I said, this is no availability. And it's just, as soon as he had me out there, he very much loved me like a thing as well. Just a thing that when I was convenient, no investment. But when I kept seeing how I was feeling and breaking down, I knew there was nothing left in me. So that's why I kept trying with him. I mean, even now, like, I hug my ex-husband, hello, or I give him a peck here and there. But other than that, I have not had any physical affection or touched a man since April of 2021. Anytime I missed that, I would just think of him because I didn't have anything in me. Like, I don't desire relationships anymore. I just desire, I don't know. So I think part of that too is like the fact that I got physically attached to him, which I've never done before without getting emotionally attached. It was an odd situation. And it's like, if I let him go, it overtakes him.
I don't even know what that means.
What means?
Physically attached, but not emotionally.
Well, I got physical with him very fast.
Oh, got it.
It's like I started to,
yeah.
And it's not at all that. It's about the feeling of safety. It's not about sex or anything adult. It's totally, so it's weird and it's off. So now it's, I still talk to him, but he's my internet friend. We don't see each other. I was willing to, just for that physical connection, willing to form a whole relationship. And I know it should be more than that, even though it's not. So that to me is like a drug, like wanting that physical affection. So it's like, you could stay there. To me, it's like, I don't get to meet anyone in my support group. I don't get to meet you either. You're over there, you know? But I still talk to him just because it was easier than letting him go, because he becomes something in my mind, the fantasy of what I thought we were going to have, because I moved out there because he said I would do anything to build a life with you. He did not one thing, not one.
How did you meet him?
At a concert. That simple. Yeah.
So were you, once you moved there, were you like super anxious? Are you an anxious attacher? Because you said that he wasn't like,
well,
effort.
I'm the lovely mix of anxious and disorganized. So
anxious and avoidant. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. You have a mix too. Gotta love it. Very confusing, isn't it? So yeah, but I only moved out there. Pardon me, because I can think my ass off. I mean, I have OCD, so I have to stop thinking my ass off. But I only moved out there because I love New York City. And if that didn't go right, oh, well, fuck it. I live by New York City. And that's what happened. So, I mean, that was always in my mind. It's not like I moved to Oklahoma. I mean, no, nothing against it. But you know what I mean? I don't know. Just somewhere random.
Sorry, Oklahoma.
Sorry. I didn't mean that at all. I didn't. See how I just say things? Okay. I didn't mean that.
No, you're good.
Big city snob over here. Oh my God, because I didn't mean that. Anyway, I'm a sweet girl, I promise.
Well, it doesn't seem like you fared too bad in the picker department, romantically.
Yeah, it's not right, but it's also not damaging. I mean, it's kind of like also my substance of choice. I'm a cannabis person. I mean, I'm going to pick something that's going to be a habit, but going to leave me with the least trouble. I think that's, again, part of functioning. I could only take on in life what I don't have anyone to turn to. So one of my rules for substances that kept me safe was, first of all, I had an aversion to alcohol because of my household. So I was like, yikes. Like, that was scary to me. And then other things, I would make, do you ever see that show Intervention?
Of course.
Amy? Yeah. I used to make myself watch that. Because I go, before I want to try any drug, I have to make sure I've seen someone who's at that level of addiction to that. Just make sure I want to mess with that. That's how I would parent myself in my head. So to avoid.
That means that you're 100% not an addict or an alcoholic, because I can't see any addict or alcoholic doing that.
Oh my God. Well, that's how I control myself. I mean, but I'll smoke cannabis all the time. That's what I mean. Like, I don't see a problem with it, but I've thought about it. I'm not trying to do cocaine with its expensive price tag and short high and bloody nose. I'm not trying to do all that. You know what I mean? I hear it's great, but great. Keep it over there away from me. Like, part of me, it's what I'm trying to learn now is to do what I want while I have OCD. Because I have OCD, because I've always had to take care of myself like that. Like, I feel so split, like this baby and this smart person that knows what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's
a baby genius.
Exactly. I like that, baby genius. I've been saying alien a lot just because I feel so other and outward, or like wizard and buffoon. I mean, I don't know, just every kind of paradox you could think of, because it feels like I couldn't feel anything. Now I feel everything at once and I can't take it. I'm trying to learn to take it. It's a lot. I mean, I haven't even, until that Breathe to Heal workshop, I don't know if you remember saying, I felt my hands for the first time when I said that. I'm like, how stupid does that sound? But that is how disconnected from my body I've lived my whole life. Just tensed and in pain and just ready to go. And it's crazy. It's why pain feels good. You know, like I'm a person with tattoos and that was like feeling something. You know, I always wonder, like, it's kind of weird. Why do I like that? I don't know. I guess a lot of people do. It's not uncommon, but. You hear that's a thing? I don't know.
So how's therapy been going?
Well, I still haven't done a lot of therapy because after I started, my therapist went on maternity leave. So I just started back up again. It's going good, but it's so slow. But I love my therapist. I feel like I trust her. I feel like she gets me. Well, she gets me a little too well, because what I love about going to therapy, I sound really nerdy because I'm like, yay, because, you know, I like her knowing exactly. She reads me like a book. Mm-hmm. And that is so fun when you've lived your life feeling misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that I'm so typical to her with all my issues that I have, that she knows exactly what I'm going to think or say. So in a strange way, it's so, it's at that thing where it's just healing from that perspective to just have someone understand, you know. And I was again smart there and go, let it not be a man, because I love her so much, you know. And you get that attachment, like, I totally understand going through this experience, but I knew that going in. I knew if someone, and just what I've been through in my life, I've been, any bad things that have happened to me, and especially with older men when I was a child, is I think I can handle something I can't, or I'm trying to do something. I'm an adult. I'm their friend. I'm this. I'm always playing a role. I've never in my life until this ripe old age tried to be a person. That's what I want to do. I mean, I just hope it turns adult at some point. But like I said, the therapy is relatively new and I'm just starting. It feels so late, but better late than never. I mean, I have to be so typical. Life, I had to have my breakdown right at 40. Life begins at 40, I guess.
Well, I mean, shit, a lot of people don't realize it until much later. And some people never realize it. So.
Well, exactly. Well, that's when I look at like you and lots of other ladies in our group. I'm like, oh, it's so good. I wish in my, you know, the times, but also everybody wishes when they see things. But yeah, it's good to be there at all. I think the majority of people, I don't know how many out of how many, but get to dealing with it. Like I said, no one in my family. I mean, at first, Max hasn't said, you worried about anyone in your family hearing the podcast? And I kind of said, fuck no, for lots of reasons. They'd never be listening anyway to this kind of podcast. But also, I mean, I don't want them to hear it because I don't want them to hear me. I just don't want to exist to them. I also don't want to hurt anyone by just this forget me. That's why when I had to cut off contact with my mother, there was no way I'm going to talk to anyone else in my family. Because if I can't talk to my mother, I will not. I'm just going to vanish like a ghost. Just, I mean, it's not, there's no nice way to do it. But to me, it seems like that's the least, if you're going to, versus me lurking around and not talking to certain people and doing the strange things. It's kind of like, I need that fresh start that I have right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to me, it sounds like you've done a shitload of healing.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't just have to say that?
No. I mean, just all the insight you have in a pretty short period of time.
Yeah. I'm trying. It feels slow, though. When everyone talks about feeling slow, it feels so slow. I'm very impatient. I got to learn to chill out.
Yeah, girl. I'm however many years in, and I'm still so fucked up, so...
Yeah. It's well, I just saw you guys this year. So this is like a big leap for me.
Yeah.
Big leap.
You'll be there. You'll get there maybe, you know, 20 years or so, you know.
Hey, something to look forward to. Yeah, I'll take it. Exactly. Beggars can't be choosers. Oh. Fine with me.
So what are three things that you like about yourself?
Oh boy. These I had to write down because I generally don't think those things I like about myself. I like that I'm understanding. All this comprehension. I mean, in a way, I hate that I've given myself up for everyone, but I like that I could hold space for anyone as well. I like that. And that I'm good natured. I think part of the reason, even like talking about my ex-husband, why I'm attracted to that personality is I wish I liked everyone and felt that way. I want the best for most people. I mean, even when I think of people I can't stand what they believe or things like that, I still want the best for them. Like, I don't feel hate for it. So I like that about myself. And also the third thing is that I'm grateful. Like, even through all these things, I'm finding ways to enjoy the little things in life and appreciate whatever's here and just taking for granted, you know, not taking for granted things and appreciating the fact that I might not like where I'm at, but at least I got here. You know, like, I didn't achieve goals of a normal person, but I also did exactly what I set out to do. Like I said, is not getting stuck. So I actually kind of weirdly achieved my goals in life. Do you like how generous that is?
I love it.
I'm giving it to myself in the reframe, giving it up.
100%.
Yeah.
A lot of other people need to take that attitude.
Hell yeah, why not? If everybody had delusion, why can't I in that way? Even if it is, I don't care. I'm doing it. I've decided.
So hope or dream for the future.
Peace. And the ability, peace. Peace and the ability to feel
peaceful.
Comfort. Eric's comfort. I honestly do not know what comfort feels like. I'm now once in a while catching a glimpse, but I one day hope to be able to sit in it naturally. And I can't, it's something I haven't experienced yet. So maybe it doesn't sound big, but it would be huge to me. It would change my life to be able to sit in some comfort. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah. Hey, right. I don't ask for much. Give it to me, universe. I don't manifest, but let's do it today because we're on a podcast.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.